When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
A promotional fee has been paid by the sponsor of this program for its editorial content. Statements, views, and beliefs expressed by the sponsor do not reflect those of WOKV or Cox Media Group.
The following hour is brought to you by Madden Advisory Services.
Information presented on this program is believed to be factual and up-to-date, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, and it should not be regarded as a complete analysis of subjects discussed. Discussions and answers to questions do not involve the rendering of personalized investment advice, but is limited to the dissemination of general information. A professional advisor should be consulted before implementing any of the options presented. Madden Advisory Services, Inc. is registered as an investment advisor with the SEC and only transacts business in states where it is properly registered or is excluded or exempt from registration requirements.
Helping to make our community a better place. This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing the things that matter most to you. Have a question? Have it answered by our local experts. Call 340-1045. That's 340-1045. Now, Smart Money on News 104.5 WOKV. Here are your hosts, Hank Madden, Michelle Barron, and Brian Hughes.
Good morning, Jacksonville. Welcome to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services. You are listening to us live on this beautiful Saturday morning.
Beautiful. Have you looked out the window?
Hey, it's not hot as heck yet.
It's wet and rainy looking. Not yet, but...
It did not rain on me on the way here.
Not yet.
Not until much later this afternoon. Right now, it's still beautiful. I'm Michelle Barron.
I'm Brian Hughes.
So right off the bat, our regular listeners are going to know our A-team is short one this morning. Hank is out today recovering from cataract surgery. So a question for you. You think with Hank being able to see better, he's going to drive any better?
I don't know. Well, he only got it in one eye. The next eye is in a couple weeks. So does it help with just one eye?
I don't know. I don't know if Vanessa told you either. I think you were on vacation. Do you know she actually cut him off? He cut her off on the way into work one morning.
Did he give her the finger too? The one Scotty gives.
He might have given the finger. I'm not sure it's the one Scotty gives. Hopefully he's not at home listening to us pick on him. But we do expect that he will be back with us next week. Until then, you have Brian and I filling in. We do always like to start off each show with a big thank you to our regular listeners who faithfully tune in each and every week. It is amazing how many of you have been such great listeners and for such a long time. It's always interesting to hear your stories when you come in to visit with us. You definitely are the foundation of our show, and without you, without our callers, our show would not be possible. So a very special thank you to you. If you are a first-time listener, welcome to the show. We hope you can stick around for the full 2 hours and that you become regular listeners as well. By this point, you're probably trying to figure out who we are and what we're all about. Madden Advisory Services is a Christian-based, independent, fee-only financial planning and asset management firm. Now, that's a mouthful with all of those fancy buzzwords. So what do you really need to know about us? Our firm is dedicating to building trust within each of our client relationships. Our goal is to help either individuals or businesses in being able to identify, implement, and monitor financial management solutions. The bottom line is that we want our clients to realize their personalized financial goals, whatever those may be. We do have normal office hours, and we're located right here in Jacksonville, Florida. We offer a 1-hour complimentary consultation. That's right, it's completely free. You can come into our office, ask your personal financial questions, and if it turns out that the services we provide could be beneficial, then we'll share that information with you along with the fees that we charge. Either way, we're not going to charge you a thing for that initial meeting. If you'd like to take advantage of that opportunity, you can call our office at 296-1127, and Vanessa would be happy to schedule that client appointment. When we're not working during the week, we bring you Smart Money every Saturday morning from 10 to noon. That's right, we are with you for a full 2 hours. Now, don't feel bad if you're wondering, what in the world are we going to talk about for a full 2 hours? We honestly ask ourselves that question each and every week. Well, believe
it. That is true.
It is true. Usually about Friday.
I was asking that about 5 minutes ago, too.
Well, believe it or not, today's news events in Washington politics have a big impact on our economy and, in turn, a big impact on you. We want you to be up to date and informed on what's going on in the world and, more importantly, how those world events are impacting you. And I'm talking about how it's impacting your family, your job, your taxes, your retirement, your investment portfolio, things like that. And then at the bottom of the hour, we get to the most important part of our show, which I happen to think is the most interesting. And that's the part of our show that is dedicated to our listeners and your questions. So we open up the lines, we take your calls and answer your questions. So get those financial questions in order. Topics today. Well, just scanning the headlines from the week, you're going to see those same reoccurring headlines yet again, tariffs and Russia. Well, both are certainly important. Those items are probably already on your radar. So today I want to talk about some of the things going on in Congress right now. Version 2.0, that's not quite getting the same attention, but certainly can be impactful. And our whole show isn't going to be devoted just to politics. We want to talk about some financial planning topics, too. Today, for my Did You Knows, I thought we could talk about retirement income. For many people, retirement income may come from a variety of different sources. I have some things to help you navigate those different sources of income and information on how those sources of income will be taxed. So it's going to be a great show. You need to stick around for the whole 2 hours. All right, Brian. So I got to tell you this. While you were out last week, I did a really good job on making sure the market did well.
Oh, yeah?
So what do you got for us?
Yeah. Maybe with the preceding week, the last week, the markets really didn't go that much. It was pretty much flat on the week. The S&P 500 added less than 0.1%. So good job, Michelle.
Yeah. You dropped the ball there.
Oh. But we are up 5.7% on the year now. And it's unfortunate that the uncertainty around trade is overshadowing this beautiful earnings season that we're just starting out. But that's where we're at. Companies in the S&P 500 are set to report its second fastest pace of earnings growth since 2010, according to the Wall Street Journal. And we're still in the beginning stages of earnings, which is 17% of companies in the S&P 500 having reported so far. And earnings are up 23% from a year ago, with 10% higher revenues. Almost 90% of companies that have reported so far beat analyst estimates. That's a ridiculously strong start. Companies normally beat expectations, partially because they give guidance to analysts, which I'm sure that they lowball a little bit so that they can beat their estimates. But this quarter, so far, more companies are beating expectations than normal. Over the next few weeks, especially next week, we're going to hear from a lot more companies, and we expect earnings to remain strong through that. Now, typically, the holidays are the best season for retailers, but Amazon's trying to create Christmas in July, so to speak, with Prime Day last week. And incredibly, sales on last week's Prime Day exceeded Cyber Monday, Black Friday, last year's Prime Day. People bought more than 100 million products on Wednesday. How many did you buy, Michelle? Like 20% of that?
No, I didn't buy anything on Wednesday.
I tried, but the website was glitchy and down, which makes that 100 million products especially impressive because Amazon throughout the day had periodic outages. And other companies also jumped on the Prime Day bandwagon. Target offered its own sales day and had its most successful sales day of the year. And so what do we take away from that? I take away that the consumer ain't dead just yet. They're still out there spending, which is obviously a good sign for our economy since almost 70% of our GDP is comprised of consumer spending.
I say, why limit it to just one day? I like to spread it out, make it Christmas all year.
Okay.
All righty. For our editorial, I'm going to start off with a Mark Twain quote. Suppose you were an idiot and suppose you were a member of Congress, but I repeat myself, which is to say that Mark Twain is suggesting an idiot and a member of Congress are the same. But I'm sure some of our listeners identify with those same thoughts, at least some of the time. You may not have heard a lot about this, but Republicans are back at tax reform, trying to make permanent a number of the provisions for individual tax law. The recent tax reform in December did a few things for individuals. First, it adjusted the tax brackets lower for most income ranges. It doubled the child tax credit from $1,000 to $2,000 and increased the phase-out to $400,000 for married couples. It also increased the standard deduction from $12,000 for joint filers to $24,000. And that sounds great, but don't forget, in increasing the standard deduction, they also eliminated many deductions people take, as well as that personal exemption. If you have gone to either a calculator online like TaxCaster, or maybe your accountant provided you an estimate for 2000 and your 18 tax liability, you probably know by now that most of us will owe less to our least favorite uncle come April, and have yet to find someone who likes writing those checks to Uncle Sam. Most Americans should have extra money in their paychecks. Thank you, Congress and President Trump. If you don't like the additional money that you're now getting, just so you know, the IRS does accept donations. Go ahead, feel free to pay more. If you do remember, Republicans passed the law in the Senate without any Democratic votes. They use a procedure that allowed them to pass the law with less than the 60-vote threshold. But that does come with the caveat that they could not increase budget deficits beyond a decade. So most of the provisions, which are creating the savings for individual taxpayers, are actually set to expire in 2025. And because changes within the tax plan also adjusting how inflation will adjust the brackets in the future, as it stands now, taxes will go up in 2025 to an amount even higher than if we had not adopted the current tax plan in 2017, which obviously is not good. Now, Trump and the GOP in Congress are talking about phase two. House Republicans are prepping now for a vote in September to make these tax cuts permanent, but it is going to face some challenges that will make things difficult for Republicans to get this bill passed, and mainly that's going to be the budget. The current U.S. budget deficit for fiscal year 2018 should add up to $830 billion. In 2019, it will probably exceed $1.1 trillion. Now, that deficit means that we, and in this case, we're talking about we, the United States, is projected to spend over $1 trillion more than it brings in from taxes. And according to the CBO, which I know is not the beacon of success for accuracy, but they do estimate that the annual federal deficit will remain over $1 trillion for as far as the eye can see into the future. Now, you might be thinking, hey, we have Trump, we're going to be cutting spending all over the place. But think about this. 73% of our current government spending goes to five items. So those five items, that's going to be defense, Social Security, Medicaid, Medicare, and then the interest on money we borrow from the to fund the deficit. Now, when we think about those five items, think about this. We know with Trump, defense spending is increasing. Money going into Social Security is not enough to cover all of the people actually collecting. The trust fund is expected to run out in 2034, resulting in cuts to Social Security payments if we don't start considering reform. The Medicare trust fund is no better. It's actually projected to be depleted by 2026. And with interest rising and the amount the U.S. is borrowing also rising, the annual payment on our debt is increasing. Probably the reason we're seeing Trump blasting the Fed in his tweets. Now, the cost of these five items that are already accounting for the majority of our spending, they're growing. They're not falling. Now, that could change. But in order for that to happen, we're going to have to see some reform. And unfortunately, we're not hearing a lot of talk out of Washington on these reform items. Now, you might be wondering, how does this all relate back to phase two and making these tax cuts permanent? Well, it's going to make it tough because these cuts are projected to reduce the income the U.S. receives to pay for stuff. For example, extending the tax cuts will reduce federal revenue in 2027 by $215 billion. And that is just for 2027 alone. That's why I think this push to make the tax cuts permanent is going to be hard to get past, especially without changes to show how we are actually going to pay for those tax cuts. That means your congressman needs to hear from you. If you want these tax cuts to be permanent, if you don't want your taxes to increase above your 2017 tax rates, then you need to be pushing your representative to start talking about tax reform for Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare.
Which are tough pills. It's like political suicide for people to say, hey, we're going to adjust your benefits.
Yeah, probably going to be difficult to hear a lot of people talking about that before the election.
Right. And after the election, we might not have the same power in Congress and House.
Smart money time is now 10:20, which means it's time for our information timeout. But before we go, did you know Social Security is the number one source of retirement income and is sponsored by none other than the U.S. government? What do you need to know about how much you collect and how is it going to be taxed? You're going to have to stick around to find out. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Did you know in 2017, the average monthly benefit for Social Security was estimated at $1,360? Workers become eligible for Social Security after paying Social Security taxes for 10 years. Now, benefits are based upon each worker's 35 highest earning years. If there are fewer than 35 years of earnings, non-earning years are averaged as zero. Now, taxation of those benefits are based upon your annual income. If you make under $25,000 as an individual or $32,000 as a married couple, your benefits will not be taxed. Over that amount, either 50% or 85% of your benefit will be taxed as ordinary income.
You know what else lowers your taxation of Social Security benefits?
Where are you going with that one?
If Social Security runs out of money and they don't pay you as much,
yeah,
then there's not as much revenue for them to tax you on.
So, somehow I'm not thinking that's a perk.
No, that's absolutely... People are scared of taxes. It's great to pay taxes because it means you made money.
That is very true. I'd much rather have the money, and I'd much rather have my Social Security benefit than have to worry about if less of it will actually be taxable.
And I bring that up because in June they had that report that they do it annually that shows the status of the Social Security Trust Fund, and it shows that the trust fund's expected to run out of money in 2034. Which means without any reform or without any change that people would just get a haircut on their payments of about 23% less. So about 77% of what you're getting paid would go over to you. And that goes back to what you were saying before with the rising cost of those five items. We need to be putting more money into it or doing something to reform Social Security.
Well, not only that, I mean, the big thing is, you say a haircut, but 23%, that's kind of chunky. And when you realize how many Americans are using Social Security as their primary source of retirement income, that's even a chunkier amount then.
And if we just keep kicking the can down the road to trying to fix the issue that we know is present, it becomes harder and harder to fix. It's easier to fix it now while we have some time than it is going to be to fix it.
Yeah, before it's in crisis mode.
Right.
And they have come out with different options to consider. When we look at that, last year, I want to say they had something. It was like just increase the Social Security withholding by 2%. So that would mean 1% to the employee, 1% to the employer, and it would completely solve the problem for a tremendous amount of time.
But our politicians don't have the backbone to do something like that. Then their opponent would say, look, they raise taxes. They can also do more means testing.
1% right now for employee and employer is going to be far better than doing a 23% cut. They're going to have far more people squawking at that point.
I agree. And the other thing they could do is they could raise the age on people our age, which I would rather just pay an extra 1% tax.
I agree. I would rather. I don't want to raise the age. Plus, the other thing is a lot of people, we can sit there and say that you can't get it until, a certain age for full retirement age. But a lot of people can't do that for medical reasons or family reasons. So I don't necessarily know that that's the best solution to that problem.
There's also talks about changing how they calculate inflation like they have with the tax code. So there's a lot that they could do to fix it. They just have to have the backbone to go do it.
That's the magic sound. And Scotty did not give me a finger. But that means we made it to the most important part of our show, the part that is dedicated to our listeners and your questions. So if you have a question, we'd love to hear from you. Our lines are open, so give us a call at 340-1045. For our out-of-town listeners, that's area code 904-340-1045. We do need to take an information timeout where we bring you up-to-date Fox National News, local weather, and traffic patterns. But before we go, did you know with the average Social Security benefit of $1,360 a month, it's no surprise that often personal savings and investments are needed to supplement your retirement. What might you need to know about how those types of assets could be taxed? Stay tuned in to learn more. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. Welcome back to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. I'm Michelle Barron.
And I'm Brian Hughes.
Don't forget to give us a call. Help us to make our show more interesting. If you have a financial question, give us a call. We would love to hear from you. Our lines are open, so call 340-1045. That's area code 340-1045. If you don't feel comfortable calling in, you can always email us at smartmoney@maddenadvisory.com. Did you know personal savings and investments outside of retirement plans can provide income during your retirement? Typically, when you sell those assets outside of a retirement plan, capital gains come into play. A gain is when you sell a security for a larger amount than you originally purchased it for. Now, let's face it, that's the goal. Now, depending upon if that gain was made over a short period of time, less than a year, or a longer period of time, greater than a year, that will determine how it is taxed. Short-term gains are taxed as ordinary income, while long-term rates are taxed depending upon your annual income. Basically, if you're in a lower tax bracket, that rate is going to be zero, so that's awesome. But most of us, that long-term tax gain rate is going to be at 15%.
And just to make it confusing, the long-term capital gains rates correspond to 2017 tax rates, not 2018.
Yeah, thank you to the new easier
the tax code that we could file on our postcard.
Not quite.
Well, if we were able to do that, you probably wouldn't have seven did you knows about how retirement income is taxed.
That's a good point.
All seven of those probably fit on a postcard.
Very good point. Now, how many people actually mail in their return anyways?
That's true, too. I didn't think about that.
It's probably not that big of a deal at this point in time anymore.
So the e-file postcard.
Yeah. Who cares how big that is?
Maybe no scrolling on your web browser.
All righty. We do have Herb on the line. Good morning, Herb. Welcome to Smart Money.
Hey, good morning.
How are you doing this morning?
Very well. Thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. Thank you for giving us a call. How can we help you? What do you want to talk about?
Well, I listen to you guys all the time, and I appreciate your show, and I hope you're getting a good return on your investment in doing so. But as I was listening to the part about the Social Security, I have an idea that might be interesting to you. I don't know who to propose it to or suggest it to. I'm a retired vet, so I've got a good military retirement coming in, plus I've got my Social Security coming in, my wife's Social Security, and I'm a disabled vet, so I have a good disability coming in as well. So I'm sitting pretty well.
But thank you for your service.
Thank you.
I mean, rightfully earned.
Yeah. But the reason I say all that is because I oftentimes think about it, and I wonder, you know, with so many people dependent upon their Social Security as being their retirement, and as you know, I don't depend on mine now, although it is a big, you know, help. I see so many people doing it. I did a 401 in Roth as I was working the civilian world after I retired for a while, and that helped me pay off all my debt before I retired. But the thought I had was, you know, why doesn't the government create a opt-in program whereby just as we contribute to, say, a 401, we could contribute an additional amount of our income voluntarily to the Social Security, and depending upon how much we contribute additionally, that could go into increasing our Social Security return, and in essence, we could set it up whereby our Social Security could be our retirement. They could even roll that into, say, the military so that our military retirement could be our Social Security retirement. Now, of course, my fellow vets would kill me for saying that. But but the idea would be if you could roll in enough money, you know, just like we do with a 401, Roth, or whatever, we could solve the Social Security problem, solve the retirement problem, because we would have pretty much a national retirement program from it.
But here's the one thing that comes to my mind as you're saying that. I don't know if I want the government to have the control of something that I can opt into. I mean, I don't typically find that they're making the best choices with my money.
Yeah. Actually, when I saw the topic that you were calling about, I thought we were going to go in a completely opposite direction where we would talk about privatizing Social Security, which has been proposed a couple of times, where we could personally invest it as opposed to the government investing it. Which
You're absolutely right. The only problem we have in society today is, you know, we have too much of a dependent society. Too many people depend upon the government for everything, for their health care, for their health, for everything. So, and we're not going to see that go away soon because we have such a political structure whereby they take advantage of that on the weak-minded, if you will, and that in order to get them to vote their particular party or their particular way, and then they end up, you know, in these straits whereby they depend upon their Social Security or food stamps or whatever in order to live out their old age.
But not only are they just dependent upon it, we as the government, when I say that, they encourage that. I mean, we just keep rewarding them and giving them more incentives in order to continue that. Right. Instead of saying, hey, wait a second, start making some smart financial decisions, and then we'll give you some incentive to do that, whether it's, you know, tax credits or, you know, different things that would encourage people to make more, you know, the right thing. They'll do the right thing in making those investment decisions.
Yeah, sure. Your idea is one that I haven't really thought about, Herb. I think it's a decent idea. Me personally, I wouldn't contribute to it because I wouldn't want Social Security or the government to have more of my money. And I feel like if I wanted more income, there's things out there that I could go and invest into on my own where I'm purchasing my own income or my own pension, so to speak, like an annuity. You know, that I would rather use than just give it Social Security.
And I agree with you 100%. I probably wouldn't do it either, although I know that, you know, there's a lot of people out there who
There absolutely is. Probably not smart money listeners, but
well, we'd hope not, and we'd be advocating against that.
Yeah, and I understand that. That's, you know, financially wise, it's not the smart thing to do, but, I mean, socially wise, it would be the smart thing to do.
Well, we definitely need to come up with a solution in order to solve that problem. Like we said, I mean, we are going to be forced to come up with solutions. Otherwise, people are going to start receiving less money.
And I think that's a big point, is there's a lot of things out there that are able to, quote unquote, fix Social Security that at this point probably are not too painful for most people. But the longer that we wait, the bigger the pain's going to come. When we actually finally get around to making those adjustments.
Yeah, I agree. But I know so many people out here in the world who that's all that they have, no retirement. They have nothing whatsoever. They've either been independent in their work or they have nothing with the different companies they work for. And they just figure, well, I'll just have to live on my Social Security. It's a stupid decision, but that's what they do. And so if we're going to have that situation in the future, let's go ahead and provide for a program whereby, you know, they can contribute an extra, as you were saying, 1-5% of whatever over the years in a tax form in their Social Security. You know, let's go ahead and give them a halfway decent retirement that they can actually care for themselves.
I mean, that's one of the proposals that that have been suggested as far as the increase. Again, I don't know that we'll see it being talked about, you know, upcoming. I think that a lot of politicians want to steer clear of that. At least until after the election.
Yeah, well, that's because they're proposing it or thinking about it as a tax increase, mandatory. And I'm saying, no, make it as an opt-in for those people who are working independent or working even their companies, that they can opt in for that, and that way they could know that they would have a higher dollar amount coming back in their Social Security for retirement.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an idea. Call your congressman, Herb, and everyone else out there listening. Call your congressman.
Yeah, we need to push these issues. We certainly appreciate your comments this morning.
Thanks for listening our show.
Thank you for your time.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All righty. We have Jim on the line. Good morning, Jim. Welcome to Smart Money.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Absolutely. How can we help you this morning?
Let's see if I can get this out, because I have coffee mouth, because I just finished my cup of coffee.
Then you're probably going to talk really fast with lots of energy.
Yes. My wife has three mutual funds, two old, one current, worth $310,000. I want her to take the two old ones and roll it into do you all still recommend the Oakmark funds?
I mean, we still like Oakmark.
Depends on the situation.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's been a while since I've listened, so I wasn't sure if you were still high on them or not. So I want her to roll the two old ones into the Oakmarks, but she's wondering if she should roll the two into her current one, or if we just leave it the way it is.
So when you say mutual funds enrolling, you mean 401k. She has two old 401ks,
Okay. Two old 401ks, through her companies that she worked for.
Okay. So, Jim, just ask you a couple quick questions, and then we'll try to give you a little bit more guidance. So we might have to carry you to the next segment, if that's okay.
Okay.
But
yeah, that's fine.
How old are you guys?
I'm 50 and my wife's 47.
Okay. And when we think of this money, you are thinking of it as for retirement, or is there any other goal in the near future?
Retirement.
Okay. And so you have other funds covered, no big debts, no credit cards. You have an emergency savings.
Yeah, we have all that. I mean, we just purchased the house next door. But we took a home. Our primary residence is paid for. No mortgage, so we took a home equity loan of $130,000 on it to pay cash for the house next door.
Are you renting it out?
Eventually. Well, yes, we are. Yeah, we're gonna probably Airbnb it too. But we were thinking for her parents, because they're getting older, so they'd be able to move next door and we could take care of them. But yes, yeah, and. The mortgage right now, I think, on that is $600 a month.
All right. So going back to what she should do with those 401ks, I mean, the one thing that I would say, I mean, you're telling us that there's $310,000. I think we need to look at, you know, first, do we need to roll them from the 401k into an IRA? And then we'll tackle what kind of investment that needs to be in place there. And so when looking at the decision as far as whether you should keep it in your 401k or move it to a self-directed IRA, the things that I would consider would be, you know, what kind of options are offered in your 401k and what kind of fees are being charged at that point in time.
Yeah.
Right.
So one of the big limitations on a 401k is the companies usually only give you like 15 to 20 different options to choose from. Sometimes
right.
they're good options and sometimes they're awful. So each company, you know, has an HR person or maybe a board of directors or someone who makes those sort of decisions. Sometimes they're good decisions and sometimes they're not. Okay. So always look at the options that are available inside of a 401k. The other thing that I would think about is how much help that you actually need on the assets. So like if you guys are comfortable self-directing and making investment decisions and you guys have made changes in the past, then maybe it's okay to do a rollover, but you cannot get help typically on a 401k because of how the ERISA rules are from the Department of Labor. Versus an IRA, if you guys need help or need a professional to help you manage it, you are able to get help in an IRA. Now, go ahead.
I was going to say, I noticed on the Oakmark, where just talking with them, that it seems like you really have a lot of control, and then you can monitor which funds you want it in and transfer it here, transfer there, because the closer we get to retirement, we want less risk, I imagine. So
yeah,
it just seems like we'd have more control than just letting it sit in a 401k and just kind of like set it and forget it kind of thing.
So I'm going to come back to that. We'll come back to that thought. But one thing I want to bring up on what I was saying with rolling it to an IRA, one of the things that you do have to consider is sometimes that has more cost if you do hire an advisor. Now, if you do it self-directed, that's probably gives you cheaper options than what's in your 401k. But also, if you do go hire a professional, you know, you're adding a little bit of layer to the fee. So you have to consider that.
Okay.
I would not roll it directly with Oakmark. I would roll it to a custodian that has an open platform where you could do funds like Oakmark or Vanguard or BlackRock or any of the other fund companies, not just limited it to one.
Okay.
And then if you wanted to use Oakmark, then go ahead and do that.
I completely agree. That's a large value. And as though you're saying that, hey, you have a number of different choices within Oakmark, that's still pretty limited. And what Brian's telling you to do is really going to open up the choices that you have available to you.
And as far as Oakmark goes, I think they're good equity managers. I don't think they're good fixed income managers. And so,
sorry, Oakmark.
Yeah, if you're listening, sorry, guys.
What is that?
Well, you mentioned, like, as you get closer to retirement, you want to become more conservative, which means as you get closer to retirement, you become less stock heavy and you become more in fixed income or bonds or those sort of things.
Okay.
So Oakmark, I think, again, they're pretty good with the equity stuff, but I don't think they're very strong with fixed income. You know, I think there's better options out there, at least on the fixed income side. And so, again, that's what I would suggest, the open platform.
Okay. Do you have an example of fixed income that's good at that?
You know, everything just depends on your situation. Okay. One thing, Jim, we offer one-hour consultations for free at our office, and we'd be happy to talk to you and sit down and, you know, go a little bit more in detail. Just give us a call at 904-296-1127.
All right, well, cool. I appreciate it, y'all. You have a good day.
Thanks so much, Jim. Have a great day. That's the signs. Time for our quick information timeout. But before we go, did you know since 1974, traditional IRAs have been around to help with future retirement income? And yet, even though they've been around so long, it seems many people still have a lot of confusion about the rules surrounding how you can take your money out. Stay tuned in to learn more. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. If you have a financial question, give us a call, 340-1045. Welcome back to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV. I'm Shel Barron.
And I'm Brian Hughes.
Don't forget, our lines are open. Do you have a financial question? Help us to make our show more interesting. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. So call and call now, 340-1045. That's area code 904-340-1045. And don't forget, if you're not comfortable calling into the show, you can always email us at smartmoney@maddenadvisory.com. Did you know distributions from your traditional IRA are taxed as ordinary income? But if taken before 59 and a half, you may be subject to the 10% penalty. Generally, once you reach age 70 and a half, you must begin taking what's called required minimum distributions. Let's face it, by that time, the government is ready to start getting some of that tax revenue.
Yeah, pretty sinister of them. And the worst thing is if you fail to take your required minimum distributions, it's one of the highest tax penalties out there. Oh. You'd have to pay a 50% penalty.
Plus taxes.
Plus the taxes. Still take the money out.
Some pretty ugly rules out there. They're pretty serious about that. But they want their tax revenue.
Everyone within the industry knows that's a rule. So 401ks, they'll just automatically send it out to you. Any IRA provider that you have will probably hound you to death and make sure that you're trying to take it. So you'd really have to be living under a box, taking all your mail, throwing it directly to the recycling bin, ignoring every phone call that you get.
Although there are some people who do that.
I know. I might be guilty of throwing away most of my mail immediately.
Don't admit it. Not on air.
Why? I have a shredder. It doesn't go to the recycling bin. It goes to the shredder.
All righty. That's the sound. We're just finishing up our first hour. We still have a full hour to go, so plenty of time to get to you and your questions. So make sure you give us a call, 340-1045. We do have to take a short information timeout where we bring you up-to-date Fox National News, local weather, and traffic patterns. But before we go, did you know if you're looking for tax-free retirement income 23 years after the creation of the traditional IRA, the government created the Roth. The Roth has some special rules, but you're going to have to stick around if you want to hear about them. You're listening to Smart Money, brought to you by Madden Advisory Services, right here on News 104.5 WOKV.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up.
CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.